oh my. Put me in, coach, I'm ready to play fantasy. I know I turned 2 in a day, but the lace isn't hot in my veins. I can turn 2 in every way, so I turn to you 2 today and smash play. I'm prepared to listen. The X flipping whip got me looking way past the pitches. Statistics all that I know, and I know that who is on first, he can say I'm ready to go. I ain't trying to steal second or third, cause I wanna win first. How am I to put all of these numbers to words? I know the terms from A to Z, it's like a gift and a curse. I know the difference between a splitter and a curve, but if I can't put it into points, man, then what's it worth? I need the truth, I need knowledge. Found this podcast with all of it, but what they call it? Turn two. Turn two, what it do?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Turn 2 Podcast, brought to you by rotofanatic.com. I am your host, Matt Williams, and we are here today with a very special guest to play a game of legit or bullshit. You know him from Sleeper in the Bus, Fangraphs, Friends with Fantasy Benefits, the owner, the president, the CEO of TGFBI. If Yancey Eaton is the mayor of fantasy baseball, then my guest right now is your brother-in-law or the uncle of fantasy baseball. Mr. Justin Mason, what's up?
The uncle of fantasy baseball. I don't know how I feel about that one.
But the brother-in-law, I think maybe was good.
Yeah. That one's not bad. So I like that.
So I don't know. We're going to play a game of legit or bullshit. We played this game before. So it's kind of, for anyone who hasn't played it before or knows what it is, just a rapid fire game where we're going to go some like popular statements or hot takes from spring training of the offseason so far, and Justin's gonna quickly let us know if the statement is legit or bullshit and kind of give it, let us know what he thinks about him. So are you ready for legit or bullshit, Justin?
Always ready.
All right, so basically we're gonna run down, most of these are gonna be in order by NFBC ADP, so they'll be kind of in order of most relevant to, you know, lesser relevant players. So starting at the top, Shane Bieber has been going as the consensus number three pitcher. It's the big three, DeGrom, Cole, Bieber. Legit or bullshit that Shane Bieber is a slam dunk top three starting pitcher as he's being treated?
I think that's legit. I think he's shown amazing command. The strikeout numbers went up. I don't see any reason why he's not a top three starter. I don't know that I'm willing to take him in the first round. I don't want to take there's too many guys kind of at the back end of that first round I really like. And so I'm never going to end up with him. But that's okay. Like, I do believe, like, if people want to take him at 8, 9, 10, that's fine. But I'd rather have, like, Trevor Story or Christian Yelich.
I agree. I think your answer is completely fine. I think I almost take your answer as bullshit, or I guess I framed it wrong. Or I'm thinking, you don't think he's, like, a must-grab first-round pitcher then, which is fine. Yeah. Like, if you skipped him and you ended up with Giolito or the Bauer, the Noah, the Castillo, that whole second tier, it's completely fine. But you think that Cole and DeGrom are pretty far ahead of him?
Yeah, I think there is an elite tier of Cole and DeGrom, and then I think Bieber starts off that next tier of Darvish and Bauer and Giolito and Nola and all those guys. So I'm not going to end up with him because unless I'm picking at like 13, 14, 15, and I want to do like a pocket aces type thing and he's there, but he's just never there at that point. So it's just not going to happen for me this year.
Yeah. You brought up the name Christian Yelich, which brings us to our next question. Christian Yelich is going to make everyone cry that passed on him early in the first round. Legit or bullshit?
Totally legit. I mean, the average may not get back to where it was, but I mean, this is a guy who's got like just obscene homer and stolen base upside. And so I have no doubt that he's going to get back to that. I haven't taken him inside the top 8, but anywhere after 8, he's high on my list.
I've been wanting to take him more and more in the top 8. I mean, they have that thing that there where if you took away his first 2 weeks, his runs created plus was like, weighted runs created plus was like 132. He's still at like a 99th percentile exit velocity. It's insane. So yeah, I agree with you. Christian Yelich, totally legit. Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is going to earn his first round price tag. Legit or bullshit?
It's bullshit. I mean, this is a guy who has, over the course of his career, just tinkered. Doesn't matter if things are going bad, things are going well. And so I have no faith that he's going to be able to duplicate what he did in that 60-game stretch over the course of 162 games. I would not take him in the top 25 picks, which means I'm not getting him this year.
Yeah, I agree. I was never really a huge fan, especially now that he's pitching with his eyes closed. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's all the really misleading graphs out there. Like he has the same career as Jake Odorizzi, but obviously, you know, you have to see what he did last year, but yeah, I don't see it. It's too big of a risk. If he did it, wouldn't shock me. If he didn't do it, wouldn't shock me. and in the first round, no thank you. Staying with pitching real quick, Max Scherzer has one more Max Scherzer year left in him.
That's totally legit, man. I'm never betting against a guy that fucking crazy. I mean, like, he's, you know, it's his last season with the Nationals. You know, everybody was saying that contract was going to be awful. It's been fantastic for them. And I think he's got, maybe two or three more seasons in him. But so I'm definitely not fading him this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I have the same take you did, but I like never take him. So I don't know if I'm like silently off of him, because like I would like say I'm going to say it, but I don't think I have the balls to put money on it. If that makes sense. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think he has one more, like, you know, screw you, I'm Max Scherzer, like Cy Young season kind of left in him, and I'm rooting for it, even though I'm a Mets fan. Though it seems counterproductive. Shortstop this year. It seems it's, even though it's a deep position, everyone wants to grab a top shortstop, especially the ones that are going to give you some steals. But there's a couple, namingly Corey Seager, who's just kind of hanging out at the top at a really elite level for ADP right in front of like Tim Anderson. That's not going to offer you steals. So the question is, in a walk year, Carlos Correa is going to have a bigger ROI, return on investment, than Corey Seager this year.
I think that's bullshit. I mean, I love Carlos Correa. I'd love to see it happen. But I mean, the issues with both of these guys are they have trouble staying on the field. And so I'm more likely to end up with Correa because he's going so much later. Neither of these guys are targets for me. They fall in the right draft, and I'm willing to take the gamble. But yeah, I mean, Correa's got to stay on the field for him to kind of outproduce Seager, and so I just don't believe that that's going to happen unless Seager goes down, which is super possible as well.
You know, what's funny is that Carlos Correa actually stayed healthy this last season, but he just wasn't very good. Well, until the postseason, same as Jose Altuve. Sticking with shortstop, Tim Anderson once again hits over 300. Legit or bullshit?
Man, I'm going to look stupid for this one, but I think it's bullshit. I just, at some point, the approach and the BABIP has to come down. But like, I continuously am wrong on this one. So if I'm wrong again, it is not going to surprise me. I just can't bet on what he does at the plate panning out the way it has.
This is one of the trickier questions, I believe, because he's done it technically for two straight years, the high BABIP, but one was only a 60 game season, but it was a stretch that was, you know, it was pretty far out. So, I mean, he's proven that he can do it, but yeah, it's a pretty weird set. So, I mean, I think he can hit, like, I don't think he's going to be the player anyone once thought he was, but yeah, I think 280, 285 if I had to bet. So I'm kind of with you, even though I love Tim Anderson, but yeah, if you draft him and he gives you 285 and the home runs and steals, you won't care anyway. That's still fine. Kenta Maeda is a fantasy ace in 2021. Legit or bullshit?
Totally legit. Like, I understand people wanting to fade him because they're like, well, he's not a guy who can go deep in games. Well, we don't know that. The Dodgers just didn't let him go deep into a season, deep into games, because they had options. What options do Minnesota have? Like Randy Dobnak and Devin Smeltzer? Like, this isn't they want to compete in this division. They need to rely on Kenta Maeda. They don't have the options as the Dodgers did. I think Maeda is going to have a huge season, and people who are fading him in the top three or four rounds are going to be mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who I like Tyler Glass now. I really love Corbin Burns. They all have risks as far as inning pitch goes, but Kenta Maeda was like 99th percentile in like control and stuff. I mean, he's like amazing. So I'm definitely on board. I get the risk, but you're not paying like the Trevor Bauer risk with him. You're like almost getting him sometimes the end of the third round. So I love that. Vladimir Guerrero figures it out this season, whatever the hell that means. Legit or bullshit?
I think it's bullshit, but again, this is a difficult one because we all know the raw talent is there, right? I mean, we saw what he did in the minor leagues, and even though he hasn't quote unquote succeeded at the major league level necessarily, like he hasn't been bad, like he's been a very good player. It's just a matter of can he, you know, change that launch angle. I know a lot of people are like, oh, look at the weight loss. Like, huge weight losses, huge weight gains are not always a good thing. It changes your mechanics because your body moves differently. And I don't necessarily know that, you know, him losing 42 pounds is all of a sudden going to mean he can lift it. So I say bullshit at the price, especially. I think people are trying to pay a little bit too much for that upside, having not seen it.
Yeah, I mean, in it overall, I could see wanting to, but I can't see pulling the trigger. If he was the MVP this year, it wouldn't shock me, but I, you know, you can't bet on it. As far as ADP goes for the next question, this is just return on investment for where they are being drafted currently. Randy Rosarena has a lower return on investment at current cost than Victor Robles. Legit or bullshit?
Oh, man, this one hurts my soul. I mean, I guess it's legit. I love Randy Rosarena, but he is going way higher than Victor Robles. And if Victor Robles is leading off, and he has been leading off in spring training, even if the ball gets knocked or the bat gets knocked out of his hands every once in a while because he doesn't have, you know, very good power metrics, like, he could steal 50 bases at the top of that lineup. And I mean, that alone could, you know, make him a huge return on investment. So, yes, yeah, so we're talking strictly ROI. Yeah, Victor Robles. I mean, he was a guy that he burned me last year, but I'm going back to the well.
I was going to throw Tommy Pham in here instead of Robles, but that seemed like too easy of a...
yeah, that's way too easy.
Too easy. Corbin Burnes is a top 10 starting pitcher next year.
Yeah, I think that's
I should say, in drafts.
Yeah, I think that's legit. I think he's going to go out there and just absolutely shove. Like, the knocks against him are, well, he's going to get limited. Lots of pitchers are going to get limited. Mm-hmm. And the Brewers have said, like, we'll let guys go 100-plus innings. That's like 150, 160 innings for Corbin Burnes. That's fine. I don't think there's going to be that many pitchers.
That'll be upper middle of the pack, right?
For this year. Right? with elite skills. So, yeah, no, I'm all here for the Corbin Burnes love. I've been getting him everywhere.
Yeah, I'm blindly in on Corbin Burnes. I have him quite a few places. And I mean, spring training means nothing, but man, he came out and just dominated. And he apparently has been working on like extra pitches. So I don't know. I absolutely love Corbin Burnes. Zach Plesac. No one ever talks about this guy. So we're going to chat about him for a second. He will return at least even value in 2021. Legit or bullshit?
Well, I mean, here's the funny part is I've seen him go as early as the third round, and I've seen him go as late as the ninth round in 15-team leagues.
Well, so let's call it like the fifth or sixth round. And
I think he will at least return even money on like a fifth or sixth round value, just because you look at his game log from last year, and he was going six, seven, sometimes even eight innings when nobody else in Major League Baseball was doing that. If he had not missed time because of being just an absolute knucklehead, he would have led Major League in innings pitch last year. And I think that's going to be a huge addition to kind of what he does. Aside from being a really good control guy, even if he regresses, he's going to have so many more innings than a lot of other guys that I think he can just volume his way to, you know, fifth, sixth round value.
Yeah, this freaking Cleveland pitchers, you always got to keep an eye on them. Even Quantrill apparently is going to be in the fourth spot. So I'm sure his ADP is going to skyrocket. He pitches today. Yordan Alvarez hits 30 home runs this year.
Absolutely not. That's bullshit. Like, I love the skills, but I'm sorry, double knee surgery, you know, arthritic condition. This is talk coming from someone who has dealt with chronic knee problems his entire life. They do not get better. Like, if you're 23 and you're already dealing with this stuff, it's going to be a problem. I don't even think he's played yet this spring, and he's not, or I know he hasn't played. I don't even think he's run the bases yet this spring. He's only done batting practice. Like, that's concerning. Like, and he's going way, way, way too high. Like, yeah, no way that happens.
I have one share. He went like past 100 in an overall, and I took a shot, but I agree with you. It's hard. I mean, I could have set this at 40 home runs if I was talking to Eric Cross, and he would be like, yes, he'll do it. So, I mean, if he's healthy, he'll obviously get there, but yeah, the whole idea is healthy.
He could do 30 in a month. Like, yeah. I mean, he's got that. He's got amazing talent. If this was MLB The Show and we could turn off injuries, this dude's like a first or second round pick. But I can't do it.
Sticking with with an injury concerned player, Denelson Lamet throws over 80 innings. Legit or bullshit?
I think it's bullshit. And I'd love to see him do well. I'm never rooting for an injury as much as I have been off of this guy. But the fact they brought in all those pitchers is super, super concerning me. They don't feel confident he's going to get there. I would be super, super surprised if he got to 80 or 100 innings this year.
You know what? This isn't on the list, but since we're talking about the Padres bringing in all these different pitchers, Mackenzie Gore, who also pitches today, is he at any point going to be someone that can actually be kept on a fantasy roster for like more than 2 months this year?
Absolutely. He will find his way into that rotation. And I believe he's going to be legit. You know, and maybe this is just me not being willing to let go, but often in the fantasy community, when a prospect burns us the way a guy like Mackenzie Gore burned people like me last year, holding them on their rosters for like half of the season, we just say, no, never again. Screw this guy. I mean, look at where Joe Adell's going. Not to say Joe Adell doesn't deserve to go where he's going, but we see it all the time. We are ageist, but if those young players burn us, you know, we put them in timeout forever. I think Mackenzie Gore finds his way up into that rotation, especially if they're going to be running a six man. I think he's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was confusing last year. Like you said, people are getting burned. It's like every prospect in the world got brought up except for him and Wander Franco, obviously. JD Martinez is back. And I should say like 2019 back, not 2018 back, but like, you know, he's maybe not going to be like the 40, you know, the triple crown guy, but you know, he's going to be a, I don't know, fourth, fifth round hitter this year.
Yeah, I think that's legit. I think for him, it's about video. I also think that lots of guys were struggling with just the world in general last year. I give a lot of people a break. He's still an elite hitter. You know, maybe he's not like younger days elite hitter, but yeah, I think he could probably return fourth, fifth round value. And considering he's going outside the top 100 in most drafts, I'm here for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely in on JD too. I did one of my threads on him and something just, I talked to some of the beat writers. He's unlike Javier Baez. I mean, JD Martinez is really, really into the video, not only for him, but he helped teammates. So, I mean, guys that other had down years, like Rafael Devers early, he used to go in and help them with video in between at bats. So, and Alex Cora being back, it's like this big thing for the Red Sox. Jose Altuve hits over 295. Legit or bullshit?
That's close, but I'm going to go legit. You know, what he did in the playoffs, and I think he gets overshadowed because of his defensive miscues in the playoffs, and people are kind of like, he didn't have a good playoffs. No, go look at the numbers. Dude had an amazing playoffs. He's just a good hitter. And I know Buzzergate and all that BS. People are like, well, he's not as good as he was. He was getting help. No, I'm sorry. You can't fake what he does. And yeah, I think he's going to be absolutely fine. 295, that's tough because it's tough for anybody at 295 in the majors. But I think he's definitely going to be right around there.
All right. James Karinchak leads Cleveland in saves in 2021.
I think it's bullshit. Sorry. Like, I do not buy that he's the closer. One, they don't always use their best reliever in the closer spot. Two, he does have command problems at times. Cleveland loves to hold down people's arbitration. I mean, they just traded, you know, Lindor, the face of their franchise, because they didn't want to pay him. So ultimately, I think that an older guy that is less sexy like Nick Whitgren gets the job. Or that this is just a straight committee.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't want to bring back Brad Hand for $10 million, what makes anyone think that they want to speed up the arbitration price on Karinchak? So you make a great point there. Giants question. Kevin Gausman. Don't hate me for phrasing it this way. It's just for you to give the answer. Kevin Gausman will be a bust at ADP, which he's currently being respected quite a bit based on what he did last year, but he comes with his question marks.
I'm going to say that's bullshit. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to return value. And this may be like fantasy kryptonite, you know, shout out to the 06010 podcast. But yeah, I mean, I've been a huge Kevin Gausman fan since I got into this industry. I remember the first conversation I ever had with Paul Spohr on a podcast was who loves Kevin Gausman more. I've been a stand for him for quite a while. And they're going to let fans back in the stands as of like the second week of the season, which means that gate will be closed. The ballpark will not play as hitter friendly as it did last year. I think Kevin Gausman showed a lot of changes in the pitch mix and the skills. And I think he's completely legit and I'm ready to be heard again.
Would you rather have Kevin Gausman this year or Joe Musgrove?
See, I've been taking Musgrove, but I think you can make the argument that it's Gausman. The reason I tend to lead in Musgrove is that team is just so much better than the Giants, and they don't have to go up against their own offense. The pitchers don't have to go up against their own offense, so I just feel like there's a better chance for wins for Musgrove than it is for the Giants. I like both guys, but I also feel like this could be like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football again with both of these guys. Like, I've been fooled so many times and bought in so many times, and then that football gets pulled and I end up on my ass. So it could definitely happen again. You do not want these guys as like your number two starter like I do in TGFBI.
Well, talking about getting fooled again, Josh Bell, will he have a full bounce back in Washington? Legit or bullshit?
I think that's legit. I think he, you know, it's a much better park. It's a better lineup. They've already been working. The moment they got him, they started working on his mechanics and trying to get him his hands in a better placement. So I think he definitely has the power to succeed, and I definitely think he has a plate approach too. If he doesn't, then I'd be really surprised if he doesn't return like the ADP is going out right now.
Kyle Schwarber is joining Washington as well, and the manager has come out and said that they're not taking him out for defense. They're going to let him roll. We'll see how that goes. Jock Peterson replaces Schwarber in Chicago. They're going to let him play every single day. You know, he has a very small sample size versus left-handed hitters, even though he's platooned his entire career. They say they're going to let him roll. He's going like 100 picks later after Schwarber. I think Jock Peterson, I think, is straight up going to be better than Kyle Schwarber this year. Legit or bullshit?
Straight up? No, I think that's bullshit. I mean, I think they're going to be similar, but I think just the fact that Peterson is just awful against left-handed. I mean, I know you said it's small sample, but if you really look over the course of the career, it's not that small of a sample. Because I made that argument too with Paul, and he goes, no, go look at the numbers. It's quite a few plate appearances that he's hit like Mendoza line stuff against lefties.
Oh, it's bad. Schwarber is also bad, but he actually got a lot better in 2019. Didn't obviously show up last year, but
I'm surprised that they're saying they're not going to take him out defensively. That's my biggest thing is the issue. I mean, Peterson can play every day defensively. And so if you're okay with him hitting 175 against lefties because his defense is so strong in the outfield, that's fine. The problem with like Schwarber is if he does that against lefties, his defense is not fine. I definitely prefer Peterson at the price, but I still think I lean Schwarber just because of lineup context around him.
Yeah, you made the right answer, but I've been grabbing Jock everywhere because of the price difference, and I was hoping you just jump on board and make me feel even better. Joey Gallo leads the American League in home runs, which I believe, I don't know, he's hit about 30 in spring training so far. Legit, though. I think he set like 5.
I think it is legit. Like, I know he made some changes to his swing and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, look, the problem hasn't been the swing. It's the contact that's the problem. But that being said, like, yeah, I mean, dude's got massive power. And if everybody else is, you know, held down a little bit because of the dent in ball, then Joey Gallo ain't going to be. Joey Gallo got real man power. This is like when Chris Davis came over from Milwaukee to Oakland. Everybody's like, well, he's going to lose power. No, he's not. He's a real man. He's got real man power. Like, it's not gonna affect him. So, yeah, I do think Gallo has a really good shot at leading the majors in homers.
He did change his swing somewhat. It looked like his launch angle was up. He looked like he was, and he mentioned the park bothered him. So I think he could have been just trying to lift the ball, which a guy who hits the ball that hard shouldn't. His elite, his hard hit metrics, everyone points at, they went real down. And they're still elite, like really, really super elite, even at the level. They went from God to elite. So, I believe in him, absolutely. Zach Eflin is startable in 12-team leagues all season. Not streamable, startable, whole season.
Not whole season. I think that's bullshit. Like, I like Eflin, and I think he could easily put it together for the whole season. That's a really tough division. Mm-hmm. And a guy who's been as inconsistent as he has over the course of his career, I just can't bank on in a 12-team league that he's always startable. So that's bullshit.
Yeah, he's one of the trendy guys I have not been able to hop on board with. I'm not. I'd be happy if I'm wrong. I'd be happy if he was just do it on someone else's roster. Andrew Heaney is going to have a career year in 2021. This is the year.
Had to light up a cigarette for this one. Absolutely. Again, this is another fantasy kryptonite thing. I've been an Andrew Heaney guy for. You know, since his time with the Dodgers for a day. I've been a big fan of his since he was.
Was that the Marlins trade?
He was traded to the Dodgers, and then like 6 hours later, he was traded to the Angels. And he just tweeted out, he goes, you know, thanks for all the memories, Dodgers. So I just think that's hilarious. But I've been a huge fan of his since when he was a Marlins prospect. And I continue to be, I believe in them. It's all about health with him, right? If he can stay on the mound, he's probably going to be a very good pitcher, good mechanics. And I'm just hoping that this is the year. I believe I'm getting him. He is my most owned pitcher right now. I have him in 9 of 17 leagues that I've drafted.
I put out a list like a bloom boards of sort. This basically just, I narrowed down pitchers that qualified that were above average in O swing, Z contact and swinging strike rate. There was like, I don't know, seven. And there, you know, it's like all the elite pitchers, DeGrom, and then Andrew Heaney. He's like just sticks out like a sore thumb. So yeah, we know the talents there is if, you know, if you can just stay on the field. Austin Riley's going to hit 35 home runs.
Oh God, that might want, dude, I 30, hate to 30,
30, 30 seemed too easy. So I had to put it at 35. No.
I'm actually just thinking this out in my head. Like, they didn't sign anybody to replace him. Mm. He's going to play every day. Like, the average isn't going to be good, but yeah, I think that's legit. And I'm now thinking I need to move him up my rankings. That's the reason for the pause. It wasn't like that. Like, yeah, I think if he's playing every day, I mean, he may hit 240, but I do think 35 home runs is in the cards. And now I've got to readjust my rankings. So thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, hey, people are taking Joey Gallo significantly later. And I mean, I think he's proven to be a 210 hitter at this point in his career. He had that one high BABIP season, but I think he'll be there, 40 home runs. So Austin Riley, a third, not a bad guy going a little later. Shohei Ohtani pitches the entire season. I don't know about innings, just he makes it beginning to end without going on the IL.
Bullshit. I love him. I hope he does. Like, I really, really do hope he does. And I'm starting to want to pay the price for him in drafts because the price isn't that bad, even though it's going up. We just have never seen it in the modern era, someone to be able to do this. So until someone is able to pitch and hit and make it through the course of a season successfully, I'm not going to believe it's possible. I mean, if it is possible for anybody, it's going to be possible for him. But we've never seen it, so I can't buy it yet.
All right, so Ohtani, bullshit, I'm pitching the entire season. Eduardo Rodriguez pitches the entire season. Legit or bullshit?
I think that's bullshit, too. And I really like Eduardo Rodriguez, but, I mean, his knock his entire career has been he gets hurt a lot. So I can't imagine that is going to change after a year of, you know, extreme COVID symptoms. I'm not buying that either.
This third one is ridiculous. I know I wrote it down, but Sean Manea makes it through the entire season. Legit or bullshit?
I wish. I mean, I used to really like Sean Manea, and I can't imagine that he does, though. I mean, he's never been able to. In spite of the fact he's got pretty decent mechanics, he just has not been able to hold up. So I'm not a Sean Manea fan.
Willie Castro has hit I think they said six balls over 100 miles per hour this spring training, only behind there's some very trendy person. Oh, Kettle Marte. Something that people don't understand about Willie Castro, who should have gotten some, I think, rookie of the year votes, not one, but maybe gotten some votes last year, is even though he stole zero bases last year, he stole over 15 five times in the minors. I think that he is this year's Trent Grisham, because if you remember last year, Grisham was trendy, but he really was. No one was really paying up for him to a giant degree. So I think Willie Castro repeats to a degree, not the batting average of what he did offensively, and adds some stolen bases and ends up being like this year's big late round bargain. That's, you know, not like Jared Kelenic.
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that he's hitting that hard in spring training. So I'm going to have to maybe go back and kind of readjust my thinking, because like you kind of alluded to right there, coming up, he was considered like a kind of a speed guy. Like, he wasn't going to have any power. I think he had like a 40 grade power, you know, raw power on his metrics in most sites. But he was going to steal, you know, 15, 20 bags. And the problem with that was going to be that AJ Hinch has been a manager who does not like to push it on the base paths. But then he showed power last year kind of out of nowhere. So it's interesting to hear that his exit velocity numbers are that high.
Yeah, I think he has two top 10 hardest hit balls this spring.
Wow. It's making me reevaluate things a little bit. I'm definitely going to have to go back and watch some video here. I still kind of think it's a little bullshit. Like, I think it's like his ceiling is more of like a 15-15 guy. And I could easily see the Tigers go, hey, we're not a running team. Look who's on base in front of you. Like, yep. You can't run up the back of Miguel Cabrera. But that's really, I'm wheels are turning as you speak that, you know, maybe the power is a little bit more legit than I was giving it credit.
This is more to open the eyes, like you said, maybe open some people's eyes to him, because Roster Resource will have him batting ninth. All beat reporters suggest he's batting at the very top. Another huge difference, obviously, if he's batting in front of those guys and not behind them. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm excited about him. Andrew Vaughn is more valuable this year than Ryan Mountcastle. This is if Ryan Vaughn makes the opening day makes the opening day roster.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I really like Ryan Mountcastle, but I think he is. So I'm going to say that's legit. Vaughn, I mean, that lineup is going to be amazing. And he's going to have a lot of opportunities. He's already flashing power in spring training. You know, he's flashed a ton of power, you know, kind of in college and coming up through the minors. I know it's kind of been a quick turnaround from him. We didn't get to see a lot of him last year because, you know, he was at the alt site and stuff. But I think he's a legit power bat. And as much as I like Mountcastle, he's stuck in that Baltimore situation, which isn't going to give him a ton of counting stats in the runs and RBIs. So, yeah, I think you're probably dead on there with Andrew Vaughn.
All right. This question just popped in my head, and it seems somewhat ridiculous, but it's humorous, and it's in your wheelhouse, so we're going to go with it. AJ Pollock has never been able to stay healthy. He did last year, but they have a very crowded team, and the chances of him making through 162, sadly, are probably not high. Cedric Mullins has been batting leadoff for the for the Orioles almost on a daily basis, even when Austin Hayes is in there. DJ Stewart is injured. Cedric Mullins ends up being a better fantasy asset than AJ Pollock in 2021.
I like AJ Pollock, but I'm going to say that's legit. One, because I have Cedric Mullins is my most rostered player, right? I've got him in 11 of 17 leagues. I am the Cedric Mullins guy. I said he was going to be kind of the everyday outfielder while everybody was pumping Austin Hayes and DJ Stewart and all that. So I'm not backing off of that now. I like AJ Pollock, but his value is really tied to his ability to be able to DH because of his injury history. If the DH does sneak its way in before the start of the season, I would definitely change this and say that AJ Pollock has a better chance of outproducing Mullins. But I just don't trust Pollock's ability to stay on the field if he's having to play in the outfield constantly.
All right, we're down to our last five. CJ Crone, who according to the Bat X is going to outperform Nolan Arenado. I'm not even making that up. He's been posted that quite a bit. CJ Crone hits 35 home runs. Which, by the way, Olin, he's like on a minor league deal. I still don't know why everyone is so excited about a guy who was literally just given a minor league deal. He still has an injury history. But anyway, run with it. CJ Crone hits 35 bombs.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, this is the difficult part about spring training because we can't watch, like, every single at-bat of every single player. Mm-hmm. But when you start watching all of CJ Crone's at-bats and not watching just the home runs and the highlights that we see, you see he's not got a very good plate approach that when he's not crushing a ball, he's, you know, flying out a lot and you know, grounding out. So I think that he could hit 35 home runs in Colorado if he does make the team. I also think there is a chance, like you said, that he does not make this team. And I think there is a chance that he hits like 215. So him going or him potentially outproducing Arenado, I think is complete bullshit. and I don't know, like I'm seeing people take him in the top, you know, 10 rounds, and I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do have shares when he goes to an appropriate spot, but yeah, I'm not overreaching for him by any stretch. Archie Bradley ends the season with more saves than Nick Anderson.
Yeah, that's completely legit. I know that there are people like, well, Hector Neris. Hector Neris has never been able to like produce like long term in the major leagues. And if you look at Archie Bradley's numbers for the last season and a half, he has been one of the best relievers in baseball.
Yeah, they got a real deal there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I love Archie. He has been my closer to in just about every league this year.
Sticking with the same exact thing. Mira Garrett will end up with more saves than Nick Anderson.
I think that's bullshit. I do not trust that Cincinnati situation at all. Like, I just don't. Like, you know, they've had plenty of opportunities to turn to Garrett, and I love Garrett. I thought he was going to be a really, really good starter coming up through the minors. And, you know, he's a great athlete that, you know, I think has been a slow developer because he played so much basketball and wasn't able to focus on baseball. But I just don't trust the organization. They've got other guys there that I think are going to share the duties. And while that will happen in Tampa Bay as well, ultimately, a lot of times when the game's in line, you want your best reliever there. And so I think Nick Anderson, well, neither of these guys are going to get 20 saves, but I think Nick Anderson just edges him out.
The funniest part about the Red situation is everyone assumes Garrett's the guy but not because of what the manager said. It's because Amir Garrett has pretty much anointed himself the closer publicly. And then Lucas Sims got hurt. Anyway, that's just hilarious that the reason he's considered the closer is because Amir Garrett came out and just called himself the closer. Joaquin Soria has more saves than Nick Anderson.
Ooh, I think that might be legit. God, yeah, that it might be legit. I love Nick Anderson from a straight skills perspective, but it is Tampa Bay. They are going to share the saves. And I don't think that there is a much competition there for Soria. I know there's Crichton, and I think Clippard is there as well. But, I mean, there's a reason he chose to go there and turn down more money other places because he thought he had a legit chance to close. And I think they're going to give him the opportunity so they can try to flip him at the deadline.
All right, our last question has to do with a former Giant who's shown some interesting velocity early. Madison Bumgarner. I don't want to use the word back. Madison Bumgarner is, a bargain. He's going to have a strong 2021 season where fantasy owners who drafted him are going to be happy about it.
I mean, he's going to be a bargain because he's going, like, outside the top 400. So, like,
what he was last, he could be not a bargain going that late if he pitched true. Like he did.
The issue with Bumgarner isn't velocity. Like, I mean, he could be like Greinke up there throwing 86 and be effective if he's got his ability to command within the zone. The problem that has happened with Bumgarner has been he can find the zone. So his control is fine, right? This is the difference between command and control. It's he can't hit the glove. Go watch Bumgarner starts and watch how much the glove moves within the zone, which will lead to home runs. I have not yet seen enough of him in spring training to say that that's back, but I think people are getting excited about the velocity, and the velocity is not what makes Madison Bumgarner an effective pitcher. It's just being able to command with inside the zone. And that is what has been missing since that ATV accident.
Actually, I'm going to throw in a bonus question for you. We're going to go right back to the Giants. Someone whose velocity matters a little more is in the last year of his deal with San Francisco, Johnny Cueto. His velocity was actually up quite a bit, and he's now a couple of years removed from his Tommy John surgery. He's trying some different things to keep himself healthy on the mound, and he has all the reason in the world to try to, be motivated to have a big year. What do you think of Johnny Cueto? I mean, I guess this isn't a legit or bullshit question. Just as a Giants fan, what do you think of Cueto's chances of pulling one out this year?
I mean, I think they're pretty good considering where he's going. Like, he's going to return his investment, I think, because the Giants are going to let him pitch to try to regain some sort of trade value at the deadline for him. I love the way he keeps hitters off balance by kind of changing his timing on the mound. If he's got added velocity, that's great. Again, there are going to be fans in the stands that they think the second week of the season that gate's now going to be open, which hurts that jet stream out of the park. So I think it's going to be a better pitcher's environment than it was last year. Maybe not as good as it was prior to them making the changes to the wall, but it's definitely not going to play as like the number 7 hitter park like it did last year. So I think things are lining up really well, and there's no cost associated with him, even in 15-team mixed right now. So you take the gamble and see if it works out. But I think that there is a legit shot that he can.
Johnny Cueto is better than Madison Bumgarner. Legit or bullshit?
Legit.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the show, Justin. You're everywhere. You have your draft guide out. So tell the audience what is most important for you right now. You do so much in the fantasy community. What are you currently doing? What's new?
So let's see. I write daily fan graphs. I'm doing a lot of ADP market stuff and dropping my ranks right this week. My ranks are going. I'm re-upping all my ranks over there. So you can definitely check that. The Friends Fantasy Benefits podcast, the TGFB Odd podcast that I'm doing with my wife. We're going to have Scott Genstad on next week to teach her how to do fab. So that's going to be really fun. And I just dropped all of the episodes from Podapalooza onto the TGFBI feed. So if you weren't able to watch and you don't want to go over to YouTube and watch the, 13 plus hours or something like that of live streams, you can hear them in 45-minute increments in the segments on the TGFBI podcast right now. So definitely go check that out.
That's awesome. I love the episodes, by the way, and TGFBI with your wife are the coolest thing. Everyone should check those out. Thank you for doing legit or bullshit. Thanks for listening to the Turn 2 podcast, everybody. If you want to follow me on Twitter, MATTWI77IMS. Follow the show at Turn 2 Podcast on Twitter. And definitely go to rotofanatic.com. We just put out all of our newest projections from Crosby Spencer. They are they are aggressive. They are aggressive. They're not like your typical, ATC ones where they're just kind of trying to hit like the 70% mark. So go check those out. Yell at us how wrong or right we are. So yeah, we'll be back next week. Hopefully no one else gets injured in spring training. We'll be back. See everybody. My, oh my. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play fantasy. I know I turn two in a day, but the lace isn't hot in my veins. I can turn two in every way, so I turn to you two today and smash play. I'm prepared to listen. The X flipping whip got me looking way past the pitches. Statistics all that I know, and I know that who is on first, he can say I'm ready to go. I ain't trying to steal second or third, cause I wanna win first. How am I to put all of these numbers to words? I know the terms from A to Z, it's like a gift and a curse. I know the difference between a splitter and a curve, but if I can't put it into points, man, then what's it worth? I need the truth, I need knowledge. Found this podcast with all of it, but what they call it? Turn two, turn two, turn two, what it do? Win leagues, catch out.